Like, we've got it all set up, but our people just aren't using it effectively. And so it's going through that process to figure out, how do I get the maximum value out of every dollar I'm spending? Because each one of those is precious. And do I have someone who's focused on my tech stack every day to make sure we're getting it out of it? It can't be a part-time job for somebody, because we get pulled into selling and filling jobs and dealing with customer escalations. So we need to have somebody that thinks about this on a full-time basis.
Lauren Jones, in January of 2024, we declared the year that this is the year of
optimization. We're going to do more in 2024. And do we have the package for you? Newberry Partners and Leap Advisory Partners have come together to provide an amazing support package. So if you don't have a tech strategy, if you don't have regular training, if you are drowning in tickets, help tickets, and if you don't have community to help you make the most of your technology investment, we have a fixed monthly rate package for you. So reach out to Lauren at leapconsultingsolutions.com
or sales at newberrypartners.com.
Any one of these can answer your questions regarding our customer success package. Make the most of your technology investment. What's happening, Rob?
Girl.
Attention.
What happened, Lauren?
Ladies and gentlemen, this man has the attention span of a gnat sometimes.
That is just not true. I knew exactly what I was doing, but there was other steps that were needed and required before I could do what actually required my full attention.
Yeah, but
now that I've given that, now that I've given my TED talk for the episode.
It's what makes you entertaining, Rob.
I get it. Hey, it gets done at all times.
So, hey, yo.
I edited a podcast episode for us at 5 a.m. this morning, Lauren Jones. So
you did? Well, Allie got home from Atlanta at like 12:45 a.m. So, you know, 4 hours.
So we're almost awake at the same time because
Exactly. Exactly. That is not enough sleep for me, but, you know, we're going to survive. We're going to do it right. All right.
All right, Gloria Gaynor. We have a great guest today. The CEO of Newberry Partners, Mr. Chris Scowden. Chris, how the hell are you?
I'm doing great. It's kind of funny. All the listeners get to experience this one time a week. I get to this every day.
We're a lot.
I have
nothing to say to that. We are a lot.
Yeah, I just stopped. All right. But yes, we are a lot. But guys, if you don't know, Chris has got a pretty extensive background in digital transformation and leading large transformation projects. You could look at his LinkedIn profile if you want to see all that. Otherwise, you could be bored for 2 minutes and listen to him. But let's get right to getting to know him, more importantly. So, Chris, first and foremost, oh my God, I forgot the first question.
What are you reading
what
right
is
now?
A follow or a book?
There you go.
Well, I know you guys have heard this, and anybody that has spent 10 minutes in the bar at the conference, any of the conferences, have certainly heard this. I'm a father of three teenage daughters that are extremely active. So I generally start my second shift around 5:30 as a glorified Uber driver. So I spend a lot of time in the car, and podcasts are my best friend. So the favorite follow right now is Founders by David Sinra. It's a guy that's dedicated his life to reading the biographies of the world's greatest founders and business leaders. And I think he's up to like 360 now. So every week he puts out a new summary of the biographies of these folks and what the common traits are between the best business leaders and what made them successful over time. And it's super motivational, super exciting for folks that are trying to navigate the business world and figure out that history doesn't always repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. And there's a lot of lessons to be learned out of a $30 biography. So I think Charlie Munger's favorite quote was, there's billion dollar ideas out of $30 biographies. So it's pretty exciting to follow that.
What I got from Founders was John D. Rockefeller was an absolute savage of a human being. Which
he gets a bad rep, but he's actually a really nice, like, leader internally.
Well, yeah, but he was a savage business person.
Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking of,
I was listening to that Founders episode.
Yeah. I'm reading The Man Who Broke Capitalism. Have you read that one? So Jack Welch, the other side of not. Jack Welch.
Was it like Lenin? Was that like a Lenin book about the Bolshevik Revolution? By the way, Lauren, I didn't show you, but I got a book when I was Gary Vee.
Oh my gosh.
It's not signed. You but his new what? Book is coming out.
Keep
his
rubbing that in my nose. Boo.
I was trying to get you a signed copy. I was going to buy you a signed copy of whatever book he had signed, but it wasn't. He didn't sign any there.
I appreciate that.
Anyway,
I appreciate
you. Next question, Lauren, for Chris. What you got, bud?
Okay. Most memorable moment in staffing?
Would probably have to say when I was with IBM, I was running the RPO practice there on the delivery side. And in the middle of the Great Recession, 2010, we got approval to pitch RPO as a standalone offering outside of the kind of global HRO stack. And the first customer we go after is General Motors. So if you remember back then, this was exiting the Great Recession, 2009, GM had fired 40,000 people. They just, beginning of the year, they get all the TARP money and they figured out that if we're going to pay this back, we have to go rehire 20,000 people. And so we ended up going head to head with, I think, 8 or 9 of the largest RPO firms out there. We show up the day before the final pitch and I tear up the deck and basically just go rewrite the whole thing. Pull in our partners from Seven Step, and we end up winning the deal to everybody's surprise. And it was just kind of a big coup and so much fun to be a part of. I think they're still a customer of IBM RPO today. I mean, going on 15 years later. So it was certainly a fun one to be a part of.
That's a legacy builder for sure.
That's a
very cool.
That's a great thing to hang your hat on there, Mr. Scouten. Okay. My next one is, what's your greatest failure? Staffing or other business?
Yeah. So being somebody that listens to the podcast, I kind of go through that question every time I listen to it. And it has to be my first acquisition. So I had spent 20 years in staffing and recruiting and ultimately was burnt out and just decided to take a package and was kind of pissed off at the world and was not ever going to go work for anybody again. And kind of learned this, learned this whole theory of the great transition and baby boomers retiring and Main Street businesses needing new owners. And I was probably a little overzealous and overconfident in really applying my skills in staffing and recruiting to just general businesses and kind of decided to lean in and buy a business called CopyTech that was just a local office equipment supplier to small businesses in and around Dallas. I closed on it March 13th in 2020. If anybody remembers what happens 2 days later, the whole world shut down. And so I spent the first year trying to learn a new business in a new industry that was reliant on people being in an office in the middle of COVID lockdown. So,
Chris, you know what the greatest thing, you know what the most important part of comedy is, Chris?
What's that?
Timing.
Timing, yeah. I lived through a formal group tragedy. We've been able to exit, certainly lost a good amount of money on it, but got a ton of lessons learned. Don't be in a hurry to do a deal. Make sure that you're passionate about the business, that you bring some expertise and some skills to it, and don't just kind of think that you can go do anything because you've been successful in the past. So certainly positioned me well to kind of move into Newberry.
So when I was interviewing with you, I was looking at your LinkedIn, and every time I saw CopyTech, I was like, what the hell is this? Like, it was definitely a game of one of these things is not like the other. I didn't even look at the dates of it, but clearly it says like April of 2020. So,
yeah, I went insane for a little bit of time and ultimately found my way back into the staffing industry.
There you go.
The industry will do that to you, right? You know, when it burns you out, it burns you hard. And then, you know, you got to get right. It takes a hot minute. I mean, I opened my firm on March 2nd of 2020. I spent all of March drooling in a corner, you know, like crying and what am I thinking? Oh my God, you know, but you figure it out. But I think that hubris of, you know, I can do anything, we require that in order to take risks moving forward. So it serves you most times.
Yeah, most times. It had done me well for the career to this point of getting me into rooms that I was completely unqualified for. But sometimes it bites you. It's okay, though.
Don't lose that.
Doesn't seem like it was fatal, right? So all good.
Yeah.
And then the most important question, Lauren, you can ask, which we all know the answer to.
We all know the answer to this, but we have to ask for our listeners anyway. Are you a dog or a cat person?
So definitely a dog person. I'm in the middle of raising a 2-year-old Fox Red Lab. So lots of energy, lots of playtime. But I had grown up with cats, so I'm not opposed to them. I think I am allergic to them, but I had a very cool Persian when I was growing up that was kind of like a small dog. So he was cool. That was Norman. Norman the cat.
Norman the cat. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Now we have Oliver the lab.
I love Oliver's name. It gets me a little giggle inside every time. I just love people names for dogs. It's amazing. I love Oliver.
Whenever he says Oliver now, I think of the photo of Oliver getting the T-bone that we all split that night.
Yeah.
And it makes me smile because he looks so happy.
He is a happy dog.
I'm really excited about this topic today because as we've come into, you know, a softer 2024, a lot happened in 2023. You know, we feel like it's going to be more of the same in 2024. And I think a lot of organizations, and as a matter of fact, I just hung up with an organization that's looking to take inventory and like really prepare for the rest of the year to continue to be soft. And so, you know, you've written about how to prepare for a recession, and we're going to share that with everybody. But let's walk our listeners through some preparation and what you as a business can do to continue to feel success and enjoy success, or at least stay alive as we're going through, you know, a softer time. I hate throwing, you know, the recession out there. I feel like the more you feed the beast, the more we're like pointing our energy towards it. But, you know, the reality is numbers are down, hiring is down, all of it's down. I don't even look at my Robinhood lately because just stock market. I just don't even look lately. It's just made me sad.
It was doing okay up until recently.
Up until last week.
It was okay until recently, but you're...
NVIDIA took a nosedive last week, but I'm not going to be sad about that. but let's walk our listeners through how to prepare. And so you've kind of got a step by step. So walk us through how you would prepare an organization for times that we're in right now.
Yeah, I mean, first things first is I'm going to make sure I've got a war chest that I can survive 3 to 6 months at our current run rate. And that's about as far out as we can kind of forecast right now. But do I have the funds available to maintain the current run rate? Do I need a line of credit? Do I need an investor? Or do I really need to look at cost savings? And am I properly structured for the realities of the market that I have today? So the way I typically would do it is, I'm going to start looking for waste anywhere in my organization. I'm going to start at the processes we have and why do we do the things that we do? Have we inserted controls over the years that add waste and resource requirements and time into the process? Because we don't want to make a billing mistake or another mistake that we made 5-10 years ago. But now we probably have matured past that and we don't need those same level controls. And so can I streamline the process? And then if I'm making the process more efficient, does that make my people more efficient? Do I still need the people in the same roles that they've always been in? Or could I start smashing those together? And then that has me start looking at performance reviews of what are my people doing? Do I have KPIs and scorecards for each one of those people? Do I know what their workload is, and am I fully utilizing all of the resources that I have? As we talk to customers, it feels like most folks have gone through that hard exercise of reducing headcount as far as they want to go. And we're hearing some optimism that the market has bottomed and it's stabilized. So we're no longer in that free fall that we felt over the last 12, 18 months. But now we feel like we're stabilizing. We're starting to see some week over week growth. And we are about as thin as we want to be from a resource perspective. But it's important to make sure that you've got the performance metrics in place to make sure everyone knows what good looks like and what the expectations are, and you hold to that performance levels. And so once you've got that right, then it's starting to look at your second biggest area of spend is really in technology and doing an inventory of all of the tech spend that's out there. And it's not just what shows up on the P&L. It's looking for that rogue spend that's out there in your teams. Like what's sitting on somebody's credit card that shows up in an expense report that's $300-$500 a month. And it just ends up being what Lauren calls tech bloat, that we've had kind of rogue spend out in the different departments that adds up to a big number over time. And it's not necessarily integrated with the overarching strategy that you have. So kind of eliminate some of the tech bloat and that spend that's out there. And then I'm looking into each one of those kind of items on that tech inventory. And am I getting the value out of every dollar that I'm spending there? I'm doing a review on here's what they promised me that I was going to get. And am I getting that return there? And is that a me problem or is that a product problem? So did they overpromise on what the product can actually do and I need to go to have that tough conversation, or is it an adoption issue that we haven't configured it properly? It's not integrated effectively in our current tech stack, or we don't have the user adoption. Like we've got it all set up, but our people just aren't using it effectively. And so it's going through that process to figure out how do I get the maximum value out of every dollar I'm spending, because each one of those is precious. And do I have someone who is focused on my tech stack every day to make sure we're getting it out of it? It can't be a part-time job for somebody, because we get pulled into selling and filling jobs and dealing with customer escalations. So we need to have somebody that thinks about this on a full-time basis.
There's a lot to unpack there. You're good. Yeah. You're good. So just kind of like the start to unpack, right? Like fantastic breakdown of a strategy. You know, we do find that everyone thinks that has gotten pretty lean, right? We know that. And we think we've seen lots of right-sizing of agreements and contracts all over the place. And then I think we could dig in a little bit more. We talk about this a lot, Lauren, but right, scorecarding, optimizing, making sure that you're getting the juice that you expect to get every time you squeeze an orange in this case, right? We'll use a bad analogy. But yeah, like so much to unpack. So if you're like me and you're a squirrel, you probably want to go listen to that again a few times. But well, I'll let Lauren start to ask some good unpacking questions.
Let's let Lauren unpack that a hot minute, because what I loved was we're taking inventory of not just the hard costs on technology and the things that support the organization, but we're taking inventory of our people, and we're really looking at value on performance, which I almost love that better than ROI. Looking at VOP, you know, what is the value of performance of the tool? What is the value of performance of the individual? Taking inventory from all of those perspectives. The rogue spend, this is where I will pause and tell you, having been in an enterprise firm and a small firm, right? At an enterprise firm, when I took inventory, there was over $500,000 in ancillary rogue spend on credit cards. $500,000. That's absurd. But that is not unheard of. You know, as we go through these tech inventories at Leap, and we do these all the time, and we look at spend, and then we look at ancillary spend, it can be egregious, the amount of spend. A, if you don't have a policy in place for buying technology, like a centralized thing, a centralized person, It doesn't mean you need a procurement department, but it does mean that you need somebody in charge of the stack, which is the impetus behind our CSP package. Is if you don't have that person, you can outsource that. We talk all the time about what you can and cannot outsource within an organization. This is one of those things, particularly in a softer market where you are looking and scrutinizing headcount. What can you outsource responsibly and what can you not? I think this is a really, really good one. And then on that maximization of value, looking at process, looking at training, looking at all of that to ensure, you know, am I getting the maximum value from every person and everything that I've invested in? I think that's huge. And then the whole point, again, I'll go back to the management of the tech stack. It is unless you have real estate, it's your second largest investment, second only to your people. And it is often unmanaged, or it's managed by a variety of people with no overarching short-term and long-term strategy.
Chris, love to hear what you think about short-term, long-term strategy, right? Like the short, medium, long-term plan. You know, when you come in, and I think one of the things I like when Lauren does is like, hey, what's the fastest to the dollar? And what's the easiest way to get to the next stage that helps you pay for the medium add-ons or things that you need to do? And then how do those medium things help you pay for the longer term things? So always plan.
Yeah. I mean, I think an area that's often overlooked is just the vendor management of the tech stack. And like making sure that you are really close to all of the partners that are in your tech stack, that you understand their roadmap and you take advantage of this time as a partner to renegotiate your current contracts, look for opportunities to renew or get better pricing, become a beta tester, be an early adopter on some of those things that are out there. So if you're really looking at your software partners, they're going through a tough time as well. So if you can lean in and do a contract extension, you're going to get the best pricing you ever will right now. Like if you want to make an investment in technology, now's the time to do it. And there's a couple of different mindsets in managing a downturn. It's do I cut costs and just survive? Or do I look for ways to differentiate and go grab market share and be in a position to outpace my competitors when the market comes back? So there's like I said, two schools of thoughts there. There could be just survive to another day or go make some investments when times are slower. You've got the resources internally to adopt and make the change and know that in 6 months, you're going to be way more efficient and productive than your competitors. And that's the opportunity to go grab market share on the way back up. So some things to think about from your strategy and how aggressive you want to be right here.
Yeah, we talked about this in the pre-call is investments that are being made. If you're going to make them, they need to help you outperform. They need to improve experience for one of your three clients, which, reminder to our listeners, it's your candidate, your client, and your internal colleagues. If it doesn't do those things, and I think that helps you look at things, investments, people, and tools in a very, very different way. If they're not helping you outperform or they're not doing something to improve experience, it's out of the conversation. And I think if we can make, it'll help you, if you can be a little bit more black and white about that, because you know me, I want to do all the things, right? We have this conversation all the time. I want to do all the things. But we're not in a time and place where we can do that. And nor, quite frankly, from a focused perspective, should you do all the things, right? Even though you may want to.
I like how Lauren called me a squirrel earlier, Chris, but we all know.
We all know.
You know better than I am.
I want to do all the things. Anyway, I think that I'm 12.
So I'm developing a new skill set in terms of corralling and putting the guardrails up for Lauren B. Jones here.
Yes. Yeah. It's very helpful because
hard thing to do, but I think it's important.
Hey, listen, when you're a solopreneur, and I think solopreneurs will appreciate this, right? You do have to figure out ways to replicate yourself. And sometimes that means, you know, driving in seven different lanes. But when you have a larger team, and this is, you know, kind of what I'm coming back to, is when you have that larger team, it does allow for a deeper focus. It allows for better results. You know, you don't have to be spread so thin. And it's just, you know, kind of coming back to center on having resources that you didn't have before and all of that. I want to kind of finish off with what we are seeing now, and maybe explain this for our listeners, is we are seeing a lot of acquisition. We are seeing a lot of movement in the market. And I think part of that is businesses, and you tell me, is have either put that war chest together, or, but we see so much movement in softer times like these. Give me your perspective on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've experienced probably some of the best of times over the last 4 or 5 years in terms of staffing company valuations. And right. A lot of interest from private equity firms or external funding into the industry that has driven some billion-dollar level acquisitions. So it was a great time to be in the market. What we're seeing right now is some pressure on valuations and maybe some kind of forced sales as folks have gotten overextended. Maybe they were too reliant on VMS business or non-direct revenue. And as the supply of orders dwindled, it got harder for them to survive. So they needed to have an exit, be part of an acquisition in order to keep the firm alive. And I mean, as a business owner, I don't have one mortgage, I have 70 mortgages. So I'm always thinking about how do I take care of the employees that are in our organization. And those are some tough conversations that any of us in kind of ownership go through. And sometimes an exit is the best thing for the organization. But what we see right now and typically in slower times is there are going to be those strategic acquisitions and you find more of the strategic bolt-ons than you do of the external like private equity investment.
Right.
And as you go through that and you're assessing those acquisitions, historically it was, all right, how many people am I getting and how many candidates are in the database and what's the customer list? That's changed a lot. Because that stuff is now fungible and it's easy to acquire. And what becomes more important is, are the cultures going to fit together effectively? And what's that tech stack? Do those bolt together? Or is this a major transformation? And am I prepared to go through a wholesale 18-month technology integration of two large firms? That's pretty hairy. And are you capable of doing that in the middle of a downturn when we've all trimmed staff as thin as we can? So there's a lot that goes into those types of decisions.
I mean, you also buying strategic thinking towards sales and recruiting. Are they doing anything, you know, that's going to amplify? Like you acquire the business, but you get the way that they were going to market to recruit, all the technology that they wrapped around it, all the technology they wrapped around selling, right? I don't think people are thinking like, hey, you know, whoever I know who acquired, but Signature Consultants was a beast and they had an incredible culture and incredible sales force and put a lot of time and effort into it. So we know where they went, but like that, if I looked at a company that I would want to strategic, like obviously they were successful and had great team members, but that's all because everything was great at that organization at least from the outside or the part where I was seeing them every day.
So. Right. Well, I think the most important thing you said there, your tech stack matters in valuations. I say this all the time, yeah. Particularly to small business owners that are looking to poise for exit, is your technology matters. It's not something that you can ignore when you're looking for a good valuation. Those technology investments matter. So as we come to the half an hour mark, what last pieces of advice would you give business leaders and owners as we navigate our way through, you know, what we feels like the bottom? And we hear that 2025 is going to be amazing. And that's where 2025, we will thrive, right? But what piece of advice would you give for those, you know, as we continue through this year?
I would say try to simplify and focus on the core of your business. What's gotten you here? What's made you successful? Don't get distracted by chasing the next shiny new thing. Focus on your core business, on taking care of your employees, on taking care of your customers. Make sure you have good voice of customer feedback there, whether that's NPS scores or employee NPS scores, employee SAT surveys. Make sure that what you are leading the organization through resonates with both your internal customers as well as your external clients. And as long as you're a good partner that's bringing value, you're going to survive and thrive in any market.
Okay, so here's what I heard, and because I love alliteration, you need to simplify, you need to understand sentiment, and you need to sell, sell, sell.
Yes? Yep.
Okay. There you go. There's your three pieces of advice.
That's our next town hall.
There you go. I love it. Now we have.
No, that's what we did our last town hall.
Simplify. And understand sentiment and sell, sell, sell. That will get you through this. And we have heard a lot. I will finish this with our listeners. There has been a lot of focus on selling as an optimization. You know, we deemed 2024 the year of optimization. That is also on the sales side. We enjoyed being order takers for quite some time with, you know, a booming healthcare market and enjoyed, you know, the orders flowing in. And you need a strategic selling, you know, function within your organization if you are going to thrive and prepare yourself for that in 2025. Hands down.
All right. So
Rob.
Gonna give a motto. I stopped because I was gonna say thrive in 2025, but it's still April 24. So
I know
we're gonna thrive in 24, guys. Is better. Yeah.
There's more.
And then speaking of, when is Thrive Live?
When is Thrive Live?
Speaking of,
yes, coming the first week of May.
Or Thrive Virtual.
Thrive Virtual is the first, and then Thrive Live will be the precursor to Staffing World. We'll be there. We'll be visible. Both at Thrive Live and Thrive Virtual and at Staffing World. But Thrive Live, if you are a woman and you are looking for a good support unit and you're looking for other women just as passionate about supporting you, then, you know, get your feet wet. It's $160 to attend Thrive Virtual. And we've got some amazing speakers coming. I couldn't be more pleased with the program that's been put together for Thrive Virtual. And just wait until you hear about Thrive Live, because we've got a hell of a speaker lineup. Given the fun that we had last, or the fun I had last year emceeing, we may have another MC. So just a little sneak peek for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh. All right. Well, Chris, this has been fantastic. Appreciate it. I'm never going to apologize for the shenanigans. So
I love it. Thank you guys.
You're welcome for the shenanigans. And thanks again for sharing. That was awesome.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you for listening to the You Own the Experience podcast.
You can catch all our previous episodes at whywepodcast.com and learn more about our thriving staffing community by signing up for the Why We newsletter.
And coming soon is Staffing Huddle, an online open community dedicated to your staffing success.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Lauren. Go do something good.